Welcome to RFD Profit Watch from the Country Financial Studio. RFD Profit Watch, a daily look at the commodity markets and the issues that move them. Here's your host, DeLoss Yonke.
Good Friday to you, Illinois. Thanks for joining us for this adventure in broadcasting on the third day of January, 2025. On the program, Mike Zuzolo, Global Commodity Analytics, which in 2024 celebrated 15 years, doing his own thing there. And we'll talk about a down day in grain and soybean markets. It could have been a lighter volume, allowed this to run a little wilder, but it wasn't a whole lot of activity the last couple of hours once we set these levels. Dollar index at 109. How much of a factor does that play? And if it does, what would have to change to change this scenario related to other currencies, whether that's Brazil, China, or others? March corn down 8 3/4, 450 3/4. May down 9, 458 1/4. July down 9, 461 1/4. For soybeans, March down 20 1/4, 991 3/4. May down 21 1/4, 1003 3/4. July down 21 1/4, 1016 1/2. Soy meal down 11.30 for March, 308.60. March soy oil down 34 at 39.93. March wheat down 16.5, 529 1/4. KC down 12 3/4, 539. Minneapolis down 11.5 and 578. March oats down 7 1/4, 322 1/4. Plenty to come on a Friday, RFD Profit Watch.
Are you counting deer instead of sheep? If you're dreaming about a new John Deere, a Farm Bureau membership will make it easy to save big. Your local County Farm Bureau membership gives you automatic access to John Deere's rewards program with savings on farm equipment, yard equipment, and special parts. This premium status would normally require purchase of 2 pieces of John Deere equipment within 12 months. Contact your County Farm Bureau office for more information or visit ilfb.org.
FarmWeekNow.com. All ag, all Illinois, all you need.
I'm Jeff Grady. I'm a farmer in Knox County. I'm the second generation on this farm. We raise corn and soybeans and have beef cattle. The app is very intuitive, and time is precious when you farm, so you can quickly and concisely get information you need. I'd say in the morning when I start my day, I like to know relevant ag news in the state, and then the weather app is also what I find to be most useful because it's very specific to agriculture.
It's a bully, but we aren't afraid of a fight. It's elusive, but our focus never fades. It's deadly, but we were born to defeat cancer. You may not have heard of us, but our work has helped millions impacted by cancer. We are the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. We are leaders in advancing breakthroughs in immunotherapy, genomics, and personalized medicine. This research saves lives. After 65 years of fighting blood cancers, we've arrived at a game-changing belief. The cures for cancer are in our blood. The drugs and treatments we've developed for blood cancers have helped people affected by many different types of cancers. We are the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Beating cancer is in our blood. Learn more at lls.org.
Welcome back to RFD Profit Watch. I'm DeLoss Yonke, and we bring back to the program Mike Zuzolo, Global Commodity Analytics. Happy New Year, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Same to you, DeLoss. Thanks so much for having me back, sir.
You're welcome. Now, full disclosure, we're not talking at the close. I almost always talk at the close, but sometimes the schedule doesn't allow it. At the time we're talking, I felt like the markets had been in some sort of wait-till-your-father-gets-home kind of scenario. And then today, Dad came home. Is that reasonable at all?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think I know what you're getting at. And I think it really goes back to, unfortunately, given the demand side of the equation of the investors and the January uncertainty from a variety of areas we can dig into. We start 2025 like we ended 2024, and how we've been, and we're mostly in 2023, and that is we have the hallmark of yet another weather supply-driven market in terms of agriculture commodities, in terms of what's going to bring us rally potentials that give us the ability to hedge and really the ability to sell, and whether we want to sell or not. And as long as demand and the Chinese commodity side of the equation and the trade uncertainty side of the equation and the sharp dollar rally side of the equation does not change the profile that we've been in, I think that's where we're at, and that's where we'll remain. And I think that's Dad coming home. If I had to use that metaphor and say, Dad is the dollar. The dollar has been rallying. The Indian currency is hitting record lows against the U.S. dollar. The Mexican peso was one of the worst performing currencies against the U.S. dollar in 2024. The Brazilian currency made record lows against the U.S. dollar. So, yeah, Dad came home, and Dad's the dollar. And I think that's, at the end of the day, how I'm going to treat 2025.
The dollar's at 109. And if it's even down today, and it's still at 109. So, you know, it was bad enough when it was like 103, 104, wasn't it?
Yes, and I think this is the big piece of the puzzle is remember back in 2022 when we were seeing the Ukrainian crisis ebb and the wheat market put its highs in. We were at a 114, almost $115 in September of 2022. That's not out of reach for the upside for the U.S. greenback, the loss, in my opinion, because we see that China is in deflation and they've done several things to get out of deflation. But, you know, to me, it's I'm oversimplifying, but to me, if we want a new commodity super cycle, demand-led low, India's not big enough. Mexico's not big enough. We really still need Canada and China especially to be the two markets that bring in the support of the commodity sector, and China especially. And I think that's where if we don't see the Chinese economy relieve its deflationary pressures and we end up seeing more tariff pressures on China's economy, that will only pressure them more in terms of keeping their exchange rate low and try to export their way out of their doldrums. And I think that's what the commodity investors are looking at right now. And so it's really hard for me because we've had very strong commodity demand in the grains and especially corn. And the market has reacted to that by hitting six-month highs, but it hasn't had the support of the wheat market. And the wheat market with Canada and Russia are very, very key in 2025 for me in terms of taking supply away, and then we can have prices go higher. But right now, we're not getting that wheat-led market that I've been begging for over a year now.
One question also about Brazil and all this. We'll talk about crop size. That's one thing, but you know, when you think about the dollar and you think about the real, I mean, the real is just tanked. Could that possibly mean trouble for them? Or is that something that would be far enough down the road like it certainly wouldn't impact their exporting of a giant soybean crop in a year like this?
Yeah, I don't think they mind it at all as far as the export-driven market that they are in. Their economy is built on exports, and their bilateral trade with China has been growing and growing and growing. And especially since the first term of President Trump, they have really worked together well, be it China and Brazil, to have more bilateral trade with one another. And so we're seeing cross-trade vehicles, cross-trade goods between what goes out of China and what goes back to China via Brazil has really improved substantially in the last several years. And so I don't think Brazil's at all upset about a weakening currency. What my South American colleague has told me in the last several weeks is that the Brazilian farmer is probably going to become more dismissive of selling a crop if the currency remains weak. But if we're talking about a 165 to 170 million metric ton Brazilian soybean crop, that really doesn't bode well for how much leverage those farmers will have at that size of a crop. And so we're still very early in the game as far as potential on the crop size, especially in Argentina for corn and for the soy products. But for Brazil, to me, I'm equating essentially, and again, oversimplifying, I'm equating Brazil with the soybean market. I'm equating Argentina with the corn and the meal market.
Boy, soybean meal down to 10 to 11 bucks. Soybean oil, again, nearby contracts are south of 40 cents. And in days like this, yeah, you wonder what kind of price potential is out there.
Yes, and I think this is in the near term, and for our purposes, as we start the new year and we're talking about South American weather, it's no less important, about the U.S. hard red wheat weather and also the Black Sea wheat weather. If we're going to be able to rally beans through the meal on Argentine weather, I don't know why we can't rally the wheat on winter weather here in this country and winter weather in the Black Sea. And that's the missing link for me. What, in other words, when I talk to clients and they say, how much should I be sold in 24 and 25? It really does boil down to how much can the wheat give us? How much can the corn give us out of the weather markets in the United States, Argentina, and the Black Sea? Because that's what's going to make, I think, the difference between another 40 cents higher in the corn off of a 60 or 80 cent rally in the wheat. That's really what we're looking at right now. Otherwise, the corn has done its job, and we're around the corner now of seeing a very likely scenario develop where farmer-related selling here in the States is probably going to start to pick up if it hasn't already, and therefore we're going to rely more upon the wheat as far as upside potential from here, if you ask me.
More with Mike Zuzulow after the break on RFD Profit Watch.
Thank you for joining us here on the RFB Radio Network.
Hey, you know, a great way to reach farmers, reach those in agriculture, is through local radio. In fact, Rita, from the National Association of Farm Broadcasters, they have research that shows that farmers listen, 87% say they listen 3-plus days a week, 74% say they listen 4-plus days per week. We're proud to be able to provide a service for stations all over the state that touch farmers at a very direct level.
Indeed, and local radio is still the best way to stay connected to your local community.
Be sure to listen to this station throughout the week, not just for RFD Illinois, but for also market updates, news information, weather, and much more coming from the network and from Illinois Farm Bureau.
Everyone loves a vacation. No one loves to spend a lot of money. By being an Illinois Farm Bureau member, you have access to a multitude of savings at a variety of hotels to help ease the cost of your vacation. Members save at Choice Hotels, Drury Hotels, Great Wolf Lodge, and Wyndham Hotels and Resorts. Advanced reservations are required, and you will need your Illinois Farm Bureau benefit codes to receive the discounts. Visit ILFB.org for more details or contact your County Farm Bureau for your exclusive benefits.
You're never too old to play in the dirt. Whether it's for work or play, Caterpillar is a go-to for machines and equipment. Farm Bureau members can now save up to $5,000 on the purchase or lease of eligible Cat machines, including wheel loaders, small and medium dozers, backhoe loaders, excavators, and more. Farm Bureau members also receive an additional $250 credit on work tool attachments purchased with new Cat machines. Not a Farm Bureau member yet? Visit your county Farm Bureau offices for more information.
From your front door to your back fence, Granger's got you covered. Farm Bureau members receive discounts on everyday needs from batteries to light bulbs to cleaning supplies. For those bigger jobs, check out the savings on tools, generators, paint, and more. Outside jobs are easier with discounts on mowers, equipment, and even pool supplies, all with free shipping for Farm Bureau members. At Granger, you'll find what you need for every job, inside and outside the house. Contact your local county Farm Bureau for more details on how you can save with your Farm Bureau membership.
For every acre and every season, Case IH Equipment and Farm Bureau have your back. With your County Farm Bureau membership, you save $200 to $500 on Case IH tractors, large mowers, balers, and more. Tell your local dealer that you're a Farm Bureau member to get those savings applied to your purchase.
Not a Farm Bureau member? Join now at ilfb.org or visit your County Farm Bureau office for more information.
Talking to Mike Zuzlow, Global Commodity Analytics. And I want to ask you about this, too, especially thinking about soybeans. We go into 2025 with continued uncertainty related to renewable fuels, tax credits, that sort of thing. You know, are there significant impacts related to that uncertainty?
Yeah, it keeps a ceiling on things as far as investors wanting to come in and buy. And this is where the crude oil market, like the wheat market, is historically, DeLoss, the areas where you get these stability factors coming in, and it's something a farmer can really sink their teeth into. But if we're talking about weakening crude oil demand because of China, because of India, and we're talking about deflation, and then you talk about, you know, for instance, the B40 program in some of these southeastern countries, Southeast Asian countries have been discussed now in the last couple weeks because of the environmental policies shifting around. That's probably going to discourage investment because the demand side of the equation is still so uncertain. And I think that is a perfect question to ask that kind of wraps right back into what we started out with, is what's going to get us out of the weather and supply-led markets, and therefore rallies need to be sold. And it's the demand side. And so crude oil, copper, wheat, those things that were so important in 2024, 25, the soybean oil I would throw on top of that, vegetable oil I would throw on top of that, because of this deflationary atmosphere that we're fearful of in the investment community.
Is soybean oil nearby contracts at 39 cents. We lost about 8 cents over the course of 24. Even with some historically large crushes, it just doesn't look like a good price point.
No, it really doesn't. And I think this is where things can change very, very quickly, and the investors are very, very fickle. In that we could have a policy shift that would attract them almost immediately into this market. And I'm not discounting that possibility, but it goes back to sell for profit and then come back in and buy back at times during the year where you think there's some areas that you can get a 7 to 12, maybe 13% rally off of these markets. And that's kind of what we've been seeing here in these prices as far as the big picture. When you have recoveries, you have short covering market moves. And when we do know that in the meal market, that the funds have been a record net short in futures and options, and at some point they will want to come in and cover their shorts. I personally think it's going to be when they see the all clear in China's livestock industry. And right now that all clear has not been sounded yet.
And how does this relate? I've sold half or more of my new crop. I'm getting a government check coming in. I just got a deferred payment. So I may not be paying attention to any of this stuff going on right now.
And this is going to be very disruptive. You could pull out, economics books are very useful in times like this when you get a direct payment or you start talking about tariffs, especially percentage tariffs off of goods. Especially within a large economy like the United States, it does hurt the other country. I was just reading last night on some of the economic analysis from about 20 years ago. We're essentially going rewinding the clock back towards the 80s and 90s at this point on our trade policies and our direct payment policies. And I was reading just last night where in a large economy, importing economy like the United States, if you slap a percentage tariff on a good, regardless of the inflation rate, that percent's going to be the same. And it can hurt the other country to the point where they may have to absorb as much as half of the lower price and the lower cost of profit. And obviously the consumer that is importing that good and buying that good is going to take on the other half. But it does hurt the other country. And so it makes sense economically what President Trump is getting ready to do with these tariff threats in terms of rearranging the global trade. And globalization, as we know it, looks like it's off the table now for maybe as many as 10 or 15 years, by my guess, if we follow through in the first 100 days of not getting any kind of an agreement with some of these major trading partners. If we take a lot of time on that trading time period and negotiation time period, it's going to get harder and harder, historically speaking, to come to an agreement, and those tariffs could stick. That's where it goes back to the price volatility becomes that much greater when you have tariffs and direct payments. And it makes sense, and I talked to clients about this 3 months ago in a webinar, that direct payments were very likely by the Trump administration, and we've seen it with the Biden administration already with this last Congress.
All right, last question, going back to the strength in the dollar. Is there a first thing that needs to happen to provide a more bullish opinion? I feel like even if the dollar went down to 105, it's still at 105, and everything else is awful against it. So does a particular shoe need to drop first?
Yeah, that's a super prescient question, as you oftentimes ask, DeLoss. I really do think the good news here is that between the real, the Indian rupee, the Mexican peso, the Chinese yuan, we have priced in a lot of tariff and a lot of threats of reduced global demand. And the investors have been on the sidelines pretty much essentially since the second quarter of this past year. And so I really do think that you could get neutral news that looks like good news. In other words, that first 100 days comes around, China says we're going to help with fentanyl, we're going to start to play better in terms of what we bring into Mexico, and then all of a sudden Mexico falls into line because Mexico and China have built up a huge supply chain to kind of help offset any direct threats between the United States and China. And then all of a sudden, Canada comes into line, too. And all of a sudden, we wake up one day, it's almost Easter, and we have no tariff threats whatsoever. That, to me, would support the idea that we would have a cycle high in the dollar, because we've been pricing this strength and this tariff threat of the dollar strength in essentially since October. And really, if you go back to some of these other currencies, as I said, since the late second quarter of 2024. So we're ripe for a trend change in these currencies, if you ask me.
All right. Hope that voice holds up, Mike. Thank you very much. Good to chat.
Thanks, DeLon.
Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics on RFD ProfitWatch.
More farm news and information ahead. Stay tuned for more ProfitWatch here on the RFD Radio Network.
The Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy requires a 15% nitrogen decrease and a 25% phosphorus decrease by 2025. Your time is up, and though your Illinois Corn Checkoff has encouraged conservation adoption since the strategy was released in 2015, agriculture has missed the mark. The checkoff continues to fund research and conversation to help regulators understand the barriers to achieving the goal and set farmers up for future success. Learn more at ilcorn.org.
Recognizing engagement, the Illinois Farm Bureau actively engaged student of the month. This is Jim Taylor with the RFD Radio Network. Do you know a student that is an FFAer, plays an IHSA sport, participates in the 4-H or county fair scene, and involved in a student club or activity? That's actively engaged. If you're an FFA advisor, coach, 4-H or county fair leader, or club or activity sponsor, nominate that student today. Learn more at farmweeknow.com/activelyengaged.
Hi, everyone. We are so thankful for the loyal and large audience we have here in Illinois.
We are the number one ag radio team in the state, and we're proud to serve the farming community with our daily programs.
And our weekend features that are a blast to produce, like Vintage Country, a 5-minute program that takes us back to yesterday to celebrate the stories behind antique tractors.
Classic cars and trucks and grain trucks that have served such important roles on the farms. In some cases, they're considered a part of the family.
We also work to find fascinating stories on one-room schools, barns, and farmhouses.
Join us every weekend here on the RFD Radio Network for Vintage Country. Listen on your local radio station and look for photos online at farmweeknow.com.
We are your RFD Radio Network team.
We're proud to be Vintage Country. Topic ideas, email radio@ilfb.org.
I'm Jim Taylor with the RFD Radio Network, inviting you to join us every weekday on this local radio station. Remember, local radio is where it counts every day. Local radio partners with local business to support local FFA chapters, 4-H clubs, and local agriculture. I join my teammates and fellow NAFB farm broadcasters Rita Frazier and Alaw Shonky to bring you the latest farm news, ag information, and markets. Start your day with us on RFD Illinois and stay close to local radio throughout the day. Together, we cover Illinois ag better.
Illinois Farm Bureau, an organization that supports Illinois' number one industry, agriculture. Today, Illinois membership includes everyone from farmers to folks like you. Discover benefits which provide a strong voice, advocacy, educational opportunities, community service, local discounts, and so much more. Thank you for being a member of Illinois Farm Bureau. If you aren't already a member, sign up today at ilfb.org.
Welcome back to RFD Profit Watch. I'm DeLaw Sionke from the Country Financial Studio, Friday, January 3, 2025. On the program, we'll visit with Aaron Hager, University of Illinois. We saw him a month ago at this time. He was one of many from the U of I, from U of I Extension, from the Farm Doc team that presented at the Greater Peoria Farm Show. And one of the things we'll talk about, we didn't even really get into the profitability aspect of it. But one of the things we talk about is the unknown. And if there's so much unknown, how does a company come up with a new product if weeds already come with their own resistance? How do you get down an 8 to 10 year supply chain? We'll talk weather with Chuck Collins out of Peoria Television about the snow that's coming. If you're south of that line of snow, there might be ice and quite a bit of ice before some snow comes in. And we'll talk about a bounce. We'll talk about timing. And is it a snowman snow? Is it a dusty snow? That'd make a big difference if we have to move 4, 5, 10 inches of it. And it's not going to melt either. We got an awfully cold forecast behind it. By the way, also talking to Aaron Hager, University of Illinois Extension agronomy summits are coming up. One starts on one will be the 14th in Peoria. Registration is a week before the event. You can find that through U of I Extension's website. Next week on the program, Brian Burke, John Stewart and Associates, Scott Sims, Western Grain Marketing. Matt Houston, New Frontier Capital Markets, Kurt Kimmel at agmarket.net, Clayton Pope, Clayton Pope Commodities. Also next week, Jim Minert in the Purdue CME Group Ag Economy Barometer, weekly GrowMark segment, and a whole lot more. DTN's final 2024 retail fertilizer survey showed, compared to the month before, five fertilizers were a little bit higher in price, none more than 5%. Potash, $444 per ton, 1034-0, $614. Anhydrous, $729. UAN 28 at $326. UAN 32 at $365. Three were a little bit lower. DAP, $739. MAP, $810. Urea at $489 a ton. Compared to a year ago, two fertilizers were a little bit higher in price. DAP and 1034-0 were both 2% more expensive than the end of 2023. The other six were lower. MAP down 2, UAN 28 down 4, UAN 32 down 7, anhydrous 8% less, urea 9% less, and potash was 14% less expensive compared to last year. Still steep. With these margins, try to find every edge we can get. We have a regular Friday segment called, Hey, What Are Cash Livestock Markets Doing? Certainly a limited report over the past couple of weeks. Some auction houses haven't been open since the 17th or the 19th, thereabouts. But we'll get busy pretty soon. There were a couple of locations, though, that were open, including Greenville. On the 1st, steady to a dollar higher on high choice, a dollar lower on low choice and selects. Choice steers and heifers, 185 to 192. High yielders to 194, high yielding or prime lots for steers at 196, prime heifers atop of 197, six weight steers 220 to 260, seven weights 200 to 245, 5-weight heifers, 210 to 270. 6-weights, 180 to 240. Walnut livestock auction yesterday had some go through the ring. Steers from 195 to 201, average 199.31. Group of heifers from 192 to 202.50, average 196.67. Slaughter cow top of 121, slaughter bull top of 120. Illinois Direct Hog Market Friday, $46 to $56 a hundredweight. Light sows 32 to 38, heavyweights 38 to 44. Light boars 20 to 30, heavyweights 15 to 25. All right, how do we do today? Not too good. March corn down 8 3/4, 450 3/4, 9 off the high, 1.5 off the low. May down 9 at 458 1/4. July down 9, 461 1/4. December 25 down 5 3/4, 440 3/4. Hopefully Monday, when there's more volume and everybody returns, maybe a little rebound could be in store. We'll certainly see. March soybeans down 20 1/4, 991 3/4. That was 23 3/4 off the high, 3 3/4 off the low. May down 21 1/4, 10.03 3/4. July down 21 1/4 at 10.16 1/2. November 25 down 19 3/4, 10.08 1/4. Soybean meal for March settled down $11.30, 308.60. Soy oil down 34, 39.93. March wheat down 16 1/2, 529 1/4. Kansas City was down 12 3/4 at 539. Minneapolis down 11 1/2, 578. March oats down 7 1/4, 322 1/4. Livestock had a reversal in there for cattle. We had hog futures lower, Feb down 37, 80.77. April down 77, 85.77. June, July, and August all lower, all less than $100. Feb live cattle up 45, 194 at a nickel, but April down a nickel, $2 off its high. March feeders down $2.02, 264.17. April down 212, 264.40. Plenty to come. RFD Profit Watch.
$302,000 is the number of discounts that our Farm Bureau members have exclusive access to. With the Avenity app, Farm Bureau members can save big on travel, a new vehicle, farm and garden equipment, restaurants, theme parks, and more. There are discounts that every family can take advantage of. You can access this Farm Bureau membership benefit with the Avenity app for Android and iPhone. Want to get in on those $302,000 benefits? Contact your County Farm Bureau office for more information or visit ilfb.org.
There's a new truck in town, and it's looking for you. Picture yourself in the driver's seat of a brand-new Ford F-150, Ford Ranger, Ford Super Duty, or a Ford Maverick truck, and $500 savings in your pocket. Illinois Farm Bureau members receive a $500 exclusive cash reward when they purchase an eligible Ford truck. Some exclusions apply, and a person needs to be a member 30 days prior to purchase. Check out all your benefits and details about the Ford membership benefit at ilfb.org or contact your County Farm Bureau.
Let's check the markets on the RFD Radio Network. I'm Delos Yonke. Down all day, down double figures for soybeans and wheat. March corn down 8 3/4, 450 3/4. May down 9, 458 1/4. July down 9, 461 1/4. March soybeans down 20 1/4, 991 3/4. May down 21 1/4, 10.03 3/4. July down 21 1/4, 10.16 1/2. March wheat down 16 1/2, 529 1/4. KC down 12 3/4, 539. Livestock, February lean hogs were down 37, 80.77. April down 77 at 85.77. February live cattle stayed up 45, 194 1/2. The rest of the contracts were lower. And March feeders down $2.02, 264.17. RFD Radio Network.
Dr. Aaron Hager, University of Illinois, and was speaking at the Greater Peoria Farm Show talking about weed issues for 2025. Okay, I saw fields, I drove by fields, and I felt like if I were trying to manage, that's how they would look. Like, you could see some with just terrible weed escapes. And in soybeans, you know, there's nowhere to hide. Mm-hmm. So I'm already thinking about next year. I know the weeds are there. I know the seeds are there. And I was horrible escape last year. How do I prevent that from happening again?
It's quite honestly, the loss is going to be difficult, and it gets more difficult after every year where there is seed production to try to prevent it the following year. Really, we're in a time frame right now, and then, you know, these comments are fairly specific for the amaranthus, for water hemp, which, you know, across more and more acres of Illinois, that's the driver species. But if we allow these things to produce seed at the end of the year, we have even less predictability the following year of what may or may not be effective in terms of herbicide efficacy. You know, I give the example that, you know, our labs at Illinois, we're doing things now with resistance mechanisms in water hemp that we hadn't even thought about 8 years ago. That's how fast this has actually changed. And we did so much early on with trying to understand target site-based resistance, but now we're really trying to get caught up with understanding metabolic resistance, which is our huge issue right now in amaranthus. The big challenge with metabolic resistance is we have really no predictability in what works and what doesn't work anymore. And, you know, the example that we've used is that we actually have instances of evolved resistance via metabolic or rapid herbicide breakdown to herbicides that were never even sprayed on that population before. And so when you think about that conceptually, it's like, how would you know what actually remains effective even into 2025 if we had escapes in 2024? So really, it's the big time frame of unknown, you know, what works, what doesn't work. But what we will be cautioning folks with a lot, you know, during the 2024 winter meeting cycle is that depending on your choice of soybean varieties in 25, you may have only one or at most two post-emergence herbicides that still retain large-scale effectiveness against water hemp, and that's it.
Well, how many times can I use them before that runs away too?
Well, actually, one of those would be the Enlist technology, the 2,4-D choline. We actually confirmed resistance in Illinois water hemp to 2,4-D about 10 years ago. We know it's there. It's only going to increase in magnitude and scope and frequency over time if we allow these escapes to continue every growing season. The other would be a glufosinate type of a product. We have a couple, maybe three populations right now in the greenhouse that we do have a little bit of concern about. And so, you know, if we've ever tried to enforce the idea or enforce the message around stewardship of these two remaining options, we really need to take this seriously, because if we lose the effectiveness of those two, there's nothing new coming, and we're pretty much done.
What are your thoughts also as we go into 25? If I've spent the last several years just going over the top with the dicamba treatment, I mean, that's not going to be there, right? There's no plans for that in 25, so I have to rethink how I fight weeds if I've been doing a certain way for probably several years.
Actually, all three registrants had petitioned the agency to issue new labels for the, you know, three approved dicamba formulations for use in soybean. Big question, of course, with the uncertainty, will those labels be available for 2025? There's always the chance they could be, but I think if you're going to be one who bets the odds, I would probably bet against having that as a option for post-applications in 2025.
Why? So, even more pressure for just a few products. Mm-hmm. That it's just remarkable to me. So a seed that blew and landed and it emerges next year and it's already going to come with its own resistance? It just doesn't seem... I think as a scientist, you just look at that and say, how in the world did that happen?
Well, we have said that for a long time. We used to sort of, it's a bad joke, but we used to tell, you know, audiences that we don't even know what we don't know yet. But there is an element of truth to that in that, you know, we don't know the genes that are responsible for this. We don't know if it's the same gene or genes in every population. There hypothetically could be some genes that are more active in populations in one part of the state. Perhaps it's a different, metabolic gene set in a different part of the state. We just don't know yet. Mm. We're making strides toward understanding, what is going on with these populations. But, and again, this is something that, people kind of roll their eyes when we repeat this. But the only thing right now that we have with any certainty at all is the fact that if there's no seed at the end of the year, then there's no change in the frequency of any of these resistance alleles. That's the only thing we know. I just spoke with a group, and I mentioned the fact that if you had one female water hemp that survived in the 2024 season, how do you know that she doesn't have now the next combination of genes that confer resistance to the next class of chemistry? You don't. It could very well happen that way.
Do we need to go with whatever it is, whether it's cover crop or something like that? Do we need to keep something in the ground all the time to have some sort of canopy just to try to limit that as much as possible? Is that a conceivable solution or a remedy, maybe?
Well, cover crops can help, but it really depends upon how we use them. So if the idea would be to fly on a bushel of rye with an airplane and standing corn the following year, then plant soybeans the last week of April, we're not going to get much benefit from that cover crop in terms of summer annual species. Conversely, if you take, two bushel of rye that you drill in the corn stalks, in the fall of the year after harvest, if you let that go until about anthesis before you terminate it, that's a different story. You can get some help and some suppression. It won't be enough by itself, but it would take some of the, quote-unquote pressure off many of the soil-applied and or foliar-applied herbicides.
Just the idea also that there's nothing coming down the pike.
Well, the way that we tell people is this. Companies that register pesticides, that's what they do, right? Mm-hmm. There will be something new at some point in the future. We can't really state with any confidence when that's going to be. We really haven't seen anything in terms of novel, brand new active ingredients that have never been used anywhere in the world. We haven't had that scenario for years. You couple that with the fact that, we just said that we are actually doing research now that we hadn't even thought about doing 8 or 10 years ago, okay? It's going to take, the time frame between when a chemist makes a new molecule to when that molecule is first sold in the marketplace, again, you're probably talking 8 to 10 years. How will you know if it's going to be effective?
By the time it actually gets
through all the regulatory processes and gets to the marketplace.
Right.
Let's say hypothetically it is. If it's that effective on the driver species in the state, what do you think is going to happen? Everybody's going to want to use it.
Yeah.
And again, that's where the stewardship idea really comes into play, that hopefully by that time we realize that, these are valuable assets. And we can use them until they break like we have in many other instances, but that's not going to be something that we can do, indefinitely.
Yeah, we'll run into the ground in 3 years and back we go again. Yeah, good to see you, sir. Thank
you. Likewise. Thank you.
Dr. Aaron Hager, University of Illinois, many at U of I, Farm Doc Team, U of I Extension, gave presentations about a month ago at this time now at the Greater Peoria Farm Show, and events are coming up quite soon, in fact. 6 different stops, U of I Extension Agronomy Summits, and registration deadlines are a week before the event, so Peoria, the East Peoria event will be on the 14th, registration by January 7. Different locations, different times, and different costs for each one as well. Go to extension.illinois.edu, or another way is just to do a Google search for Illinois Extension Agronomy Summits. Weather next, RFD Profit Watch. Let's check livestock markets on the RFD Radio Network. I'm DeLos Yonke. Greenville had an auction on the 1st. Steers and heifers steady to a dollar higher on high choice, dollar lower on low choice and selects. Choice steers and heifers 185 to 192. High yielders 193 to 194. Prime steers to 196. Prime heifers at a top of 197. Low choice and selects 168 to 184. Selects 160 to 175. Add some 6-weight feeder steers, 220 to 260. 7-weights, 200 to 245. 5-weight heifers, 210 to 270. 6-weights, 180 to 240. Illinois Direct Hog Market, steady 46 to 56. Light sows, 32 to 38. Heavyweights, 38 to 44. Heavy board top of 25. This is the RFD Radio Network.
I'm Dave Rylander, a corn farmer and president of the Illinois Corn Growers Association. We believe in the future of the livestock industry in Illinois, and we know that working together yields better results for all of Illinois agriculture. Corn is proud to support the Illinois Livestock Development Group and proud to invest in the future of Illinois beef, pork, and dairy farmers.
Attention students, the 2025 scholarship application period is now open. Application materials and specific eligibility guidelines are online at iaafoundation.org. The IAA Foundation's mission is to support the future of agriculture through education. We offer scholarships totaling more than $210,000 to students pursuing agriculture-related degrees. Visit the website to learn more and start your application today.
Welcome back. RFD Profit Watch. I'm DeLos Yonke. We talk weather on Fridays and certainly today. Chuck Collins, longtime TV meteorologist out of Peoria. How much snow did you get Thursday night?
We get a little over an inch, 1.1. So, you know, it added to our deficit. I mean, not our deficit, but we erased a little bit of the deficit. We've had, at least in Peoria and most of central Illinois, we had about a 6.5-inch snow deficit for the season. So we're going to put a dent into that, but we're down in snow. So obviously we need some for, you know, longer range soil moisture and things like that. So we got a little bit, but we're going to get a lot more, I think, on Sunday.
Oh boy, is this something where just a little flinch in this thing it could move 50 miles? I mean, I'm looking at the National Weather Service, and they're saying some places could get 6 inches of snow, or they could get 16. I guess just depending on the path this thing takes.
Yeah, exactly. And this thing has been trending a little bit farther to the south. So, you know, places around, Lincoln and Havana along that 136 Route 10 corridor, that's your 8-inch line. Your 10-inch line is along I-72 in Springfield over to Champaign. And then Peoria will be along the 4 to 6-inch line. But, you know, there's only a 60-mile difference between the possibility of 10 inches of snow and 4 inches of snow. So you're exactly right. Any little movement of this thing will change the snowfall amounts because it's such a tight gradient where you get the heavy snow, and then you'll have a sharp cutoff to the north of snow. So we'll have to wait and see. But right now it's staying pretty pretty along those lines, as we see it. The models have been pretty steady on it. But, some folks will get socked, I think, especially between I-70 and then I-70 south in southern Illinois. That's a major concern because they'll be putting down maybe a quarter to a half inch of freezing rain with a few inches of snow and sleet on top of it. So that's not good there. I'd rather have all the snow, which is what we're getting.
I've heard that points west where first it's ice and then it's snow on top, and that doesn't sound good at all.
No, and there'll be some sleet mixed in, but yeah, you don't want an ice layer underneath the snow, and that's even worse. You won't get much snow or sleet out of it, just a few inches, because you'll get the ice first. That takes up all the moisture content as opposed to being all snow. So yeah, that's the worst scenario, and that's not what we want. And most of Illinois from I-70 north will be pretty much in snow, but I-70 south is going to be that mix, and that will not be fun at all for the folks in Little Egypt there.
Yeah, buy batteries, I would think. Along with the bread, what is it, bread, eggs, and milk, is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So, we judge a forecast like this by loaves, so I think this is probably about a 2 or 3 loafer,
man.
You know, for most of us.
Yeah, I'm working from home Monday, I bet. Even at 4 inches, I think I'm working at home on Monday.
Yeah.
But after that, it's not going to melt either, is it?
No, we'll be, I'm looking at the things over the next 10 days, and I'm talking central Illinois, but most of the northern two-thirds of Illinois, we won't get to freezing. We won't get to 32 degrees for the next 10 or 11 days. so it's going to stay below freezing. And we'll have a few nights below zero and some below zero wind chills, but actual air temperature won't get to 32 degrees for about 10 or 11 days, and then we'll start coming back up and having these up and down temperatures the rest of the month, about the 15th or so. So we won't stay in the deep freeze, but about 10 or 11 days, but we won't be, you know, it won't be balmy out there either. We'll have up and down temperatures the rest of the month, beginning around the 15th or so.
By the way, let's say 10 inches of snow. Over how long, you know, is that, because it doesn't seem like it's necessarily over 2 or 3 days. So that sounds like some heavy snow at times.
Yeah, it'll be about a 12 to 18 hour event. So, you know, it'll begin in here. I don't think we'll see anything until well after midnight as we get into Sunday morning. Continue all of Sunday into Sunday night, then start slacking off, you know, by Monday morning. So, yeah, it'll be a 12, 18 hour duration. And we'll have some pretty, moderate snow most of the time coming down. And like I said, the heaviest bands are just a little bit south of I-74 toward I-72. But it'll be a winter wonderland for all of us out there. And farther north you go, I-80, maybe 1 to 3. So you start getting lesser amounts as you go farther north, heavier as you go toward the south.
Maybe it depends where it lands, but is this snowman kind of weather, though?
See, that's a problem. It'll be great for sledding because you want it a little bit powdery, but not for snowmen because it won't be a heart attack snow because our temperatures are in the 20s, and it's going to be a little bit drier and more powdery snow. Easier to be blown around, though. So
easier to push.
At a pretty good clip.
Well, yeah. Hey, as a guy our age, that sounds pretty good, actually. So,
yeah. So, depends on how you look at it and what kind of snow you want.
All right. 30 seconds. I saw one headline that says we may not see another James Bond in our lifetime. I hope that's just clickbait.
Well, there's a big problem going on with the producers and the new owners of MGM, which is Amazon. And, the producers still own 51% of the franchise, but Amazon owns 49%. Amazon wants spinoff characters.
No
cinemas, and they're really having a battle, and it's not going very well.
I don't like that either. Wow.
No, I don't either.
All right. Thank you, Chuck.
All right, DeLoss. See you later.
Chuck Collins on RFD Profit Watch. I'm DeLoss Yonke saying watch your ends.
You have been listening to RFD Profit Watch here on the RFD Radio Network, the number one ag radio network in Illinois.
Are you counting deer instead of sheep? If you're dreaming about a new John Deere, a Farm Bureau membership will make it easy to save big. Your local County Farm Bureau membership gives you automatic access to John Deere's rewards program with savings on farm equipment, yard equipment, and special parts. This premium status would normally require purchase of 2 pieces of John Deere equipment within 12 months. Contact your County Farm Bureau office for more information or visit ilfb.org.
Everyone loves a vacation. No one loves to spend a lot of money. By being an Illinois Farm Bureau member, you have access to a multitude of savings at a variety of hotels to help ease the cost of your vacation. Members save at Choice Hotels, Drury Hotels, Great Wolf Lodge, and Wyndham Hotels and Resorts. Advance reservations are required.